you. Thank you. Thank you so much. While you're standing, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. While we're standing together, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. Thank you so much for your kindness. You can remain standing. Let's read the Bible together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. It's so good to be in this area again with the beautiful sunshine and the beautiful weather and the beautiful palm trees and all the miles of coastline and the miles of white sand, I mean snow. It's so nice to be in this area again. Of course, this is a place where I was many times, and this is where my life was changed. I was talking to somebody this morning. I was saying that this place prepared me, and I didn't have to go on the ministry and just do things by trial and error. There's proven things here, and these people have been proven. I love the Cowlings very much, and of course, Brother Wilkerson's a great, great man, and Brother Douglas is a great man. These men have been here for many, many years, and I'm glad that you have a chance to be around them just like I was, because I learned so much from them. And again, one day in heaven, God's going to have us all meet together like this, and God's going to give out the credit to whom it really is due. And it's going to be surprising. It's not going to be to a lot of preachers. It's going to be the people that train the preachers and people that raise the preachers and the people that encourage the preachers, the ones that went to the Valentine's banquet with them and then got married in the future and became husband and wife. And that's who's going to get the credit one day. And God one day is going to give everybody credit. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm from New York, so I can talk real fast if I want to, so I'll try to not to talk too fast today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. The Bible says there, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Lord, we love you. Lord, that's why we're here. Lord, and we again want to work for you, Lord. We want to follow you. Lord, we believe that you put here for such a time as and a place as this. And Lord, we believe that nothing is by chance in your work. Lord, we pray that we will be an encouragement to each other. Lord, bless every young lady, every young man here this morning. Lord, somehow use me to teach them something that they could use to be able to be exalted one day. May these young people one day become the great leaders, Lord, the missionaries and teachers and pastors and pastors' wives. And Lord, may I just have a little part in somehow encouraging them today. So please, Lord, take control of the service. Use me, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to give you several introduction statements. Number one, pride is a natural direction of our flesh. Are you made of flesh this morning? Then pride has good ground to grow in your heart and in your mind. In 1 John, it speaks about the pride of life. Are you alive this morning? Then you'll be tempted with pride in your life. Number two, God can only resist proud people. In James chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." In the verse we just read a few minutes ago, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud." It is often the case for a person to be too big for God to use. It is often the case for a person to be too good for God to use. It is often the case for a person to be too strong for God to use. It is actually often the time, the possibility for a person to be too independent for God to use. Cases in point, we look in the Bible, Uzziah, the Bible says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." We see in the Bible Herod, we see Haman and Ahab and Eli's sons, and Lucifer, of course, became Satan. Discouragement, of course, has put hundreds of people on the sidelines of the ministry, but I dare say that pride has put thousands of people out of the ministry. In Proverbs 11, the Bible says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." In Proverbs 15, the Bible says, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." In Proverbs 16, the Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." In Proverbs 29, the Bible says, "A man's pride shall bring him low." In Psalms 11, the Bible says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and a tongue that speaketh proud things." In Proverbs 6, the Bible says that there are six things that God hates. Guess what number one is? A proud look. Just looking proud. In Mark chapter 9, the Bible says, when Jesus came to Capernaum and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You want to guarantee this morning, listen, that you'll be the last one that God's going to use one day? Just think you're the greatest. That's a guarantee that God will never use you. Jesus said, For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Pride makes it impossible for God to exalt someone. God could not work with the Pharisees. God could not work with the rich young ruler. God's accusation against Belshazzar was this. He said, Thou hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You saw what pride did to your father. You saw what pride did to the other kings. You've seen what pride has done, yet at the same time, you kept on going in your pride. Pride will put a person farther away from God than any other sin. Number three, God can only take away the things from the proud people in an effort to humble them. God can only take things away from a proud person because God wants to humble them and bring them to a point of usefulness. He may take away opportunity. He may take away blessing. He may take away reputation. He may take away strength. He may take away ability. He may take away a problem-free situation. He may take away a carefree life or possessions. God will take things away. Case in point, when God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Nebuchadnezzar became proud. God took away those things that caused his pride to be inflated. He became a very humble man, and then God gave him grace, and he became a believer in God. Number four, God can and will only work together with humbled, proud people who have voluntarily or involuntarily given up their pride. When Naaman dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, the Lord saw that and said, Okay, now I can work together with a guy like that. And God did a great miracle in his life. On the Damascus Road, God came to a man named Saul. And the Bible says he was blinded. And the Bible says he stood there trembling and asked for someone to lead him by the hand. He was blinded. Then God started working with Saul to become Paul the missionary. In Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Jesus said, Without me, you could do nothing. And if that bothers us, that's our pride resisting that statement. What do you mean, nothing? For example, you witness to somebody and they say, I'm not a sinner. I'm not that bad. I'll go to heaven because I'm a pretty good person. Is that not pride sticking up its head? Pride makes people very hard to get along with. Maybe your roommate, maybe your family members, maybe your coworkers, maybe people out in the world. But the truth is, God has the same problem with every one of us. Our pride makes it very hard for God to get along with us and for God to promote us. Number five, humility is necessary for God to work through us. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 66, To this man will I speak, look even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit. In Genesis, the Bible tells us that Abraham fell on his face before God, and he looked up and he said, God, I am but dust and ashes, when he was praying to God. And God looked down at Abraham and said, Boy, this is the kind of person that I can work with. This is the kind of man that I can work with and I could do great things with. Jacob said in Genesis 32, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which thou hast showed unto me. David said in 2 Samuel, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? In Luke chapter 7, Jesus was dealing with the centurion, and the Bible says, Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. God says, I like people like that. I think I have grace for people like that. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoes. The psalmist said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Peter said in Luke chapter 5, when they had gone out and caught nothing all night, and Jesus told them to cast on the other side of the ship, the Bible says that they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch fish. Thou shalt be a fisher of men. I want to work with a guy like you. You're just a sinful man? Okay, let's work together. I'm not able, Lord. Okay, let's work together. I can't do this. That's great. I like to hear stuff like that. That's who God wants to give grace to. That's what motivates God to give grace. You see, true humility is not to think low of yourself, but to think of yourself truthfully and righteously. I am basically water. And if you took me and ground me up and sold me to a chemical plant, I'd be worth about $3 in chemicals. But I am a child of God. And God created me and God wants to use me. That's who I am. I'm nothing. But for some reason, God shed his blood for me. And God wants to work through me as his vessel. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here. You see, only humble people will yield to God when he speaks. Only humble people will be content with what God provides. Only humble people will be honest and sincere and do God's will. Only humble people will tithe and serve and help and make decisions and give up their sins and seek to please God and lift up his name. Only humble people will be wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit and led by God. Only humble people will try to use their life for the glory of God. Only humble people will ask God for daily bread. Only humble people don't go around getting offended and getting bitter and quit the ministry. Only humble people will sit at Jesus' feet and obey. Only humble people will be good Samaritans and sweep buses and care about children and be teachable and be clay and God's hand and listen to God's still small voice and not argue with God and quench the spirit or resist him. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Paul said, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Micah said in chapter 6, he hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. We know the verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. It's the first thing. God says, listen, I want to heal your land, and I want to hear your prayers, and I want to forgive your sins, and I want to do great things. But the first thing that a nation has to do is humble themselves before God. Humility is unbelievably important. Unbelievably important. Number 6, without humility, all promotion from God will stop. Without humility, all promotion from God will stop. How in the world is God going to give grace to someone who doesn't think they need it? How in the world is God going to give grace to someone who thinks they earn it or deserve it in some fashion? How in the world can God exalt somebody if they're just going to take the credit and say, well, it was my education, it was my talent, it was my ability? How in the world would God want to get involved in someone like that? Actually, this matter of dealing with our pride is much more serious than fixing our health problems. Actually, this thing of dealing with our pride is much more seriously than focusing on our financial issues. Actually, this matter of pride is a bigger wall that hinders us from being used in the ministry than, again, getting good grades or some other thing. Why? Because pride cuts off God's help completely. It causes God to step back and be nauseated and resist us. Listen, you're here to prepare for the ministry. You're here because you believe God's called you into the ministry. And I want to beg you this morning, this afternoon, I want to beg you to realize one of the biggest hindrances for God to use anybody in any fashion, shape, or form, whether it be in a family or in a school or in a church, is our pride. Why don't people get saved? Why do they go to hell? Because of their pride. The Bible says in Psalms 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Do you know why Pharaoh didn't listen to God? Because Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He was a proud man. Why did Jonah go to Tarshish? Why did Diotrephes again fail? I'll tell you why, because of pride. I learned a long time ago that nobody else can do the work for God to use me. I learned a long time ago that nobody can do anything to stop God from using me. But I also learned a long time ago that only I can stop God from using me. And only God, listen, only you can stop God from using you. Brother Douglas and these good men, they cannot make it so that God will bless you. And they can't stop God from blessing you. But in our hearts, we can stop God from blessing us. Pride is a constant issue that causes us to forfeit God's grace every day in every circumstance. Why don't people get saved? Why don't they grow? Why don't they pray? Why don't they listen to God? Why don't we have unity? Why aren't we not trying to exalt the name of Christ? It all goes back to pride. Discontentment comes from pride. I deserve better than that. Jealousy goes back to pride. I should have that for me. Coveting goes back to pride. Greed goes back to pride. That's for me. A know-it-all attitude goes back to pride. I think this. Bitterness goes back to the pridefulness of a person saying, I have a right, listen, to resent that. Indifference goes back to people's pride and them feeling that they're important more than someone else. Unthankfulness and bragging and exaggeration goes back to pride. Being hard-hearted, it goes back into pride. Someone sitting here this morning and saying, boy, I hope so-and-so is listening to this. That goes back to our pride. We're all proud. If we would just get away from our pride, we'd be out of the reach of so many more temptations. If we could just get rid of our pride, temptation would find no good ground in our heart. Pride is the root cause of all conflict. Pride is the starter of all kinds of trouble. Pride is the sin that makes us susceptible to so many other sins in our marriages and in our relationship with God and in our ministry. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. In Proverbs 13, 10, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. In Psalms 101, God said, him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. In Proverbs 16, the Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination of God. Listen, that's what God said. Do you know of any other verse in the Bible where God says, I'll resist you? In the book of James and in the book of 1 Peter, that clearly God says he resists the proud. He says, I'll stop you from being anything. I'll stop you from succeeding. I'll resist you when you pray. I'll resist you when you ask for help. Literally, God says, I will be against you because pride offends the righteousness and the holiness of God to get the credit for what's going on here. I don't know about you, but I can't afford God to resist me. I can't afford that. I can't. Listen, I cannot have God resisting me if I'm trying to serve God. God passes by people. Why? Pride. God ignores people. Why? Pride. God won't respond to people. Why? Pride. Richard Baxter said, to be a Christian and not to be humble is a contradiction. Without humility, a Christian is useless. Charles Spurgeon said about the proud, he described them as a pretty-looking weed growing out of a dunghill. God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. Praise God. But when God does, the crooked stick shouldn't stand up and say, look at the great thing that I've done. Because we're nothing. Kevin Cowling said, the Lord always uses us in spite of who we are. It's not because we're in Bible college or because we pray or read the Bible or because we have a clean life. I'll tell you what, God uses us in spite of who we are. Listen, only little birds are given the ability to sing. Big birds like eagles and vultures and ostriches and so forth are passed by. But little birds that are small in their own estimation have sweet songs. And the Christian life is very similar. Humility is so important to our Christian life because only humble people will have open hearts and only humble people can work together with God and be co-laborers with God. Only humble people can appreciate God and admit their failures and admit their shortcomings and be willing to learn and build relationships and be willing to hear and be willing to obey God and be willing to change their plans and to be like Jesus Christ. Proud people will forget God and think that they have what they have because they deserve what they have and they want more. Proud people won't listen to instructions. Proud people will think that they know it all. Proud people think they don't need to change. Proud people won't submit to God. Proud people think they won't need God. Proud people think about themselves all the time. A wise man one time said that he could tell when a person was growing in God's grace. He says he could always tell when a person was growing in the Christian life because that person speaks less of themselves and more of the Lord. We can get too big for God to give grace to us, but my brother, we can never be too small. We could never be insufficient. Amen? God said to Saul, when thou wast little in thine own sight, thou wast made the head of Israel and king over Israel. But not anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, love God. Listen, love others. But humble yourself. Humble yourself. Our goal in life is an effort to hinder God less and less. Look, if my pride hinders God, shouldn't I get out on the battlefield? Shouldn't I get on the warpath, if you will, to deal with it? Shouldn't it be leveled out at any price? Shouldn't I deal with it so that God could use me in a greater way? Humility is just about a guarantee that God will be close to you. Humility is just about a guarantee that God will help you and answer your prayers and use you and exalt you, and God will get involved. Now, how valuable is that to us here this morning? How valuable is that to us going into the ministry? Do you want God to work through you? Do you want God to give you a great ministry, a great work? My friend, the only thing that would stop it is our pride. We don't have to convince God to use us. He wants to use us. It's us stopping him. So many people looking up and thinking they're waiting for God. God's waiting for us. Our pride should offend us. Our pride, if you will, stopping the grace of God. We should be willing to go to any length to say, God, whatever you have to do, whatever has to happen, Lord, I just don't want pride to stop me from having a life that counts for you and one day will not be worth anything at the judgment seat. The Bible encourages us to humble ourselves and keep ourselves humble. The Bible says, as we just read in 1 Peter, humble yourselves therefore, and we should want to. It stands to reason that if humility will make us attractive to God, we should love God enough to deal with our pride. We know Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hey, my friend, that's the pattern right there. That's the formula right there. Jesus came and was humbled, and then the Bible says God exalted him with a name above every other name. That's the same old pattern. God doesn't change. I assume you find yourself having the same problem I have. The Bible says, be clothed with humility. But Douglas, sometimes I look in my closet and I look at the stuff in there and there's some things I almost never wear. You know why? I don't like them. They're uncomfortable. They're made of wool. Maybe they don't fit right. There's some things in my closet that I almost never wear just because they're not what I prefer. Hate to tell you this, but humility is not my favorite piece of clothing. Personally, I don't really like humility. Personally, it's not my dress of choice. It's not my favorite suit. Are you with me? Generally, we don't seek humility on a regular basis. When's the last time you prayed and you meant it? God, I want to be weak. God, I want to be incapable. God, I want to be small. God, I want to have the feeling like I'm nothing. God, I want to feel like dust and ashes. I want to feel like the flower of the field that passes away. God, that's what I want to feel today. When's the last time you really sincerely prayed that? Probably as often as I do. Let me explain. I think you're, generally speaking, good people. And I think you just think the same of me. But generally, we try to be humble, but not too hard. We kind of humble ourselves a little bit. We kneel when we pray. That's good. We try not to brag about what things we do. We try to have a servant's attitude. We sacrifice here and there. We don't want to walk around with our chin up in the air. But generally, we only humble ourselves by ourselves a little bit. Generally, you're not going to get me to humble myself that easy. It's not natural for me. I don't like the discomfort. I don't like the shame. I don't like the feelings it gives me. We don't usually do a good job of being humble or being humble enough or staying humble. Listen, we understand this, but we don't want to experience it. We understand what the Bible says, but you know what? That's not our preference. We don't want to lift ourselves up. We want God to lift us up, amen? But for God to lift us up, we have to first be humble. Here's the sermon. Do you want God to use your life? You came to Hiles Anderson because you wanted or believed that God called you into the ministry. Do you want to have a fruitful ministry? Do you want to see lives changed? Do you want to see people in heaven because of your life? Do you want God to use you as his vessel? Do you want God to use you? Are you sure? Are you sure that's what you really want? What are you willing to do or to allow God to do in your life that he might use you and exalt you? Keep in mind, God is going somewhere. Something inside all of us, I think, this morning says, I want the grace of God. I want the grace of God. But wait a minute, what is it going to cost me? This is the sermon. In 1 Peter 5:6, the Bible says, humble yourselves. Okay, good, start the process. I assume you've done that. I've tried as well. But the Bible teaches us here, the rest of the verse teaches us that it is not only us trying to keep ourselves humble so God can exalt us, but God has also stepped in. Because this is so critical and so important, and there's no other way around it, God has stepped in, if you will. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I was at a chiropractor a few years ago, and the guy obviously adjusts your back and does all kinds of weird things and so forth. And when he was almost done, he grabbed my head and cracked my neck. And when he cracked my neck, I mean, it was like an explosion in my head. It went, and I saw bright lights for a minute. And then he went the other way. I thought he was going to break my head off. And it was another explosion in my head and loud sound. And all of a sudden, I said, boy, that felt good. And then I turned to the chiropractor after he was done with me. I said, you do this to yourself, right? I could just imagine him going in the mirror and grabbing his head and going, I said, you do this to yourself every day? He looked at me, he says, I can't do that to myself. He says, I have to go to another chiropractor, and he does it to me. He says, I can't do that to myself. You see, I imagine God saying, you have to give up your pride. I want to use you. I want to exalt you. And I say, yeah, that's a great idea. I want to do that too. And God says, okay, humble yourself. And I say, oh, good. You need to try a little harder. How's that? God says, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it enough. I know you don't like that pain. And God comes down and he grabs our head and goes, I didn't like that, but man, do I feel better. You see, I like thinking about God at my right hand. I like thinking about God holding my hand. I like thinking about God's hand being around me or his hand on me or his arms underneath us. But the Bible says in verse 6 that we are under the mighty hand of God. That doesn't sound so good. It sounds like God's squishing me and crushing me a whole lot more than what I'm used to. Ladies and gentlemen, could I remind you, the ministry is not convincing God to use you as you are without changing anything, but rather asking God to make us into whatever he needs us to be so that he can use us in a great way. Listen, God uses his hand and he presses us, and you're saying, God, why? This hurts and this is uncomfortable and this is not, again, what I would be doing. Why? Because he wants to give us grace so that he can exalt us in due time. God often purposely humbled those that he was preparing to use in a great way. God many times did the same thing that he has done in the past. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Bible says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. He's speaking there to the nation of Israel, and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee. Hey, why did God do that? Because God was going to use Israel in a great day one day. He was going to use them in a mighty way to bring the Messiah here to earth. But God said, first, I have to humble you. First, God had to take them and lead them through the wilderness. And God had to make them sometimes be very, very inept and very unable to take care of themselves. Moses never would have volunteered. It was up to him to be a shepherd for 40 years. But God said, if you're going to be used by me, I have to get the pride out, and I have to become, we have to become humble people. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Hey, he humbled himself, but God said, that's not good enough, Moses. I want to use you in a great way. So you have to go through great humbling first. Joshua was humbled at the battle of Ai. The Bible says the hearts of the people melted. The Bible says Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face. And then God used him to fight great victories in the land of Canaan. Job was greatly blessed. He had twice as much as ever he had, but he was greatly humbled first. He never would have volunteered to go through those experiences himself. He never would have done it to himself. He had to let God do that in his life. He had to let the horrible things happen in his life so that he would be humbled, so that God could exalt him up in a great way. Joseph was greatly used by God, but God volunteered him far beyond what any man ever would have been willing to do to himself, thrown in a pit and forsaken by his family and forgotten about. Esther was only human. I'm sure, again, she wanted God to use her, but she never would have done to herself what God put her through. She was orphaned and dealt with people that, again, cared nothing about her, and her life was in danger, but God exalted her in a great way. David never would have said, Lord, if you want me to be a king, listen, let my brothers mock me and my father-in-law chase me through the forest, and let me live in a cave with 400 men that are destitute and debt and so forth. In Psalms, he said, thy hand presseth me sore, but that's the whole idea. God says, listen, I want to humble you so I no longer have to resist you, so I can exalt you in due time. Paul, as God used him more and more, saw himself smaller and smaller. In 1 Corinthians 2, he said, I am weak. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. In Ephesians chapter 3, he said, I'm less than the least of all saints. In 1 Timothy 1, 15, he says, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But you know Paul. He was willing to suffer all those things so the power of Christ could rest upon him. How about you? How about you? If God exalts a person that has pride, God would, again, never get the glory. So God has to prepare that person. It is absolutely necessary for us to stay humble so that God could give us grace and exalt us in due time. Do you want God to be close to you? Then humble yourself. Do you want God to exalt you? Then let his mighty hand press you down. Let his mighty hand, again, humble you further. It's probably going to be harder. Listen, I'm trying to give you insight on why God allows certain things. When I was in college, I had some of the most crazy things happen. Humbling things. When I was here years ago, some things happened to me that I said, Lord, why in the world would you do that? I think God was just dealing with my pride. God says, I'm just trying to make you into something I can exalt one day. When you get up and God uses you, you can say, I can't believe God's doing this. The thought doesn't even enter your head, look what I've done. Look what I've built. Look what I can do. Look what I'm accomplishing. These are molding years for you. God is trying to set things straight now so that when you go out into marriage and go out into the ministry, God can exalt you from the first day. But that means here while we're in college, we have to be humbled first. It's very humbling. But we're all flesh. We all tend to be proud. Could it be that all your problems are God increasing your humility so that he could exalt you in due time? I believe that's what's really going on with the health problems. I believe that's what's really going on with sometimes the disappointments that you go through. I believe that's really what God is doing with the difficulties and the loneliness and the failures and the sometimes the death of loved ones and the inability and the problems. God's got a formula that always will work. God's got a plan that always will work. Anyone whom God wants to exalt will go through humbling. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I'll humble myself, Lord. But if you want to humble me a little more, that's okay. I'll stay under your hand. And I won't get bitter. I won't get hard. I'll just keep being more humble. I'll keep on seeing myself as less and less able. I'll see myself less and less as a man that can do this and can do that. I'll just see myself as a child that God wants to train and use and help. Anyone who wants to do a lot of things will have to go through a lot of humbling before honor is humility. Who would like for God to exalt them? Well, then probably you're going to have to cooperate with God when he starts pushing. You're still too tall. You still have your chin up too much. You still think you're somebody. You still argue all the time. You still constantly want to do your own thing. You still constantly want to push your opinion or your perspective. You still want other people to agree with you. You still think that you could do this without me. And God says, I'm going to push you down. It's not because God hates you. It's not because God wants to hurt you. It's not because God wants to make your life miserable. It's because he's preparing your heart to do something great. Listen, God can exalt you. But God will not exalt you, cannot exalt us, until his mighty hand pushes us down a little lower than what we're humbling ourselves. You've probably been trying to be humble. Praise the Lord. But maybe God says, I just want to humble you a little more so I can exalt you a little more in a few years from now. I want to encourage you this morning to cooperate with God. The Bible says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore. That's the reason why. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He's very involved, that he may exalt you in due time. Brother Douglas?